Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, and wife and children, and brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. How dare he ask this of his disciples? To us, in a world now, in a time when the very center of the family, the coming together of man and woman, male and female, is questioned and openly rejected, how could the Lord ask this of us? What could these hard sayings mean? And if these are hard for us, just imagine for those who first heard them. After all, they were brought up learning, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God gives you. Honor your father and mother. For faithful Jews, God had carved in stone a reverence for parents and a commitment to your blood, to your family. That kin was not simply an obligation, but was your identity. It's how you knew who you were. It's how you knew you were part of the Lord's people, Israel. It's how you knew you were his chosen possession. It's how you knew you were part of Abraham's offspring, children of the promise. How you had security and peace and protection and identity. And it's because of all these reasons, it's because how crucial, how central, how sacred the family was and is, that these words of the Lord Jesus had to be spoken. They are at the heart of the gospel, at the heart of what it means to take up the cross. And it is only the Lord himself, from whom all fatherhood comes, from whom all families come, who has the authority to speak in this way. But this is the heart of the Lord's gospel. First, because his kingdom cannot come through blood. After all, family, your blood ties, that's how you knew you were in Abraham's family. That's how you knew you were part of the people God was choosing for his own. That's how you knew you were part of the people through which God was seeking to redeem his creation from sin and death. But now with the coming of the Lord Jesus, it is not through blood that the kingdom comes. Now with the coming of the Lord Jesus, it is not blood, but water. Water and the Holy Spirit. It is water that brings us into the kingdom. It is faith that brings us into the new covenant people of God. As our collect said, O God, by whom we are redeemed and receive adoption, look graciously on your beloved sons and daughters. No one is born into this kingdom. I've heard Father Newman say it over and over again. No one is born Catholic. God has no grandchildren, to put it a different way. Each generation must choose anew. Each generation must choose to embrace the gospel of the Lord Jesus. This kingdom does not come through blood, through lineage. This kingdom comes by an act of faith, by dying to an old self through the water of baptism and being born to a new family But secondly, this kingdom must now be our identity. It must be now the place from which we receive who we are. The great saints of the church are testimonies in flesh and blood to this truth. I can't help but wonder when I think of the great saints of the church, saints who gave their lives to the service of the gospel, to the service of the poor, saints who consecrated themselves. I can't help but wonder how many of them heard this word from their families. Why? Why you? Why do you have to go? Why do you have to be different? Why do you have to live a different life? Saints who were rejected because of their faithfulness to the call of the gospel. Saints like St. Francis, who was rejected by his family. Saints like St. Edith Stein, who upon her conversion to Catholicism from her own Judaism, was rejected by her family. Saints like St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, who was rejected by her family after leaving a comfortable life as an Episcopalian noblewoman. And having been Episcopalian, I can say it's a very comfortable life indeed. And who faced rejection. Consider the great martyrs of the church, those who gave up their lives. How many of them do you think had husbands and wives and children who said, "Don't do it! Why do you have to die? Why do you have to give your life?" But those martyrs, those saints knew all too well that walking with Jesus means walking to Calvary, means sacrifice. Because lastly, his kingdom demands everything. Jesus demands that we sacrifice every part of us, every relationship to his kingdom, for his kingdom. But sacrificing doesn't mean necessarily in every instance destruction. To sacrifice does not mean in every instance to give up, but rather to make holy. Sacrificium. Sacrificing is about offering to God, about giving to him, about putting it into the hands of the Lord and saying, "Lord, I trust you with my life. I trust you, not just with my life, but with my relationships, with my family, with my dreams, with my ambitions. I offer it to you." Not so that we can lose every relationship, but so that we might gain them back, greater and holier and stronger. St. Paul wrote to the Romans, "He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, give us all things?" When we hear these hard words, like today's gospel, it can be easy to forget that the Lord does not wish that your relationships be all destroyed. He does not wish that your marriages be ended, that your families be broken. He wants you to put them on the altar like faithful Abraham. He wants you to put them on the altar as Abraham did and trust, to consecrate them to him so that he can give them back to you. He wants every relationship in your life to be submitted to him and to his kingdom so that they can be infused with his grace. Just think for a moment about the life of the church. This is how the Lord works. We give to the Lord water and he gives us back baptism and the remission of sins. We give him oil, and he gives us back the healing sacrament of unction. We give to the Lord bread and wine, and he gives us back the body and blood of his Son. We give to him our sons, and he gives us back spiritual fathers, our priests. Just imagine what relationship, what part of your life is the Lord waiting to give back to you, filled with his grace, stronger and holier. But be warned, as Jesus warns in today's gospel, consider the cost. Consider the cost before you lay something on the altar. Consider the cost before you put your life in his hands, your family in his hands, your relationships in his hands. And be prepared for change. Be prepared to live a radically new life, a life that is radically different from everyone else. Be prepared to have different priorities. Be prepared for the greatest struggles, the greatest blessings, and the greatest graces.